Hello again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I bring to you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. It's my prayer that as a saint for Jesus, you will be for Jesus, and you will ever be talking about him to people. It is my great prayer that you will be blessed by his presence, moment by moment kept in his love, moment by moment have peace from above. What a privilege, what a joy, and what a great thing it is that you and I have the opportunity of coming near to our Lord Jesus. There's a beautiful old Latin hymn from the early 1800s, and I would like to share it with you before I get into the scriptures today. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Thy truth unchanged hath ever stood. Thou savest those that on thee call. To them that seek thee, thou art good. To them that find thee, all in all. We taste thee, Lord, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. We drink of thee the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. Our restless spirits yearn for thee, where'er our changeful lot is cast. Glad when thy gracious smile we see, blessed when our faith can hold thee fast. O Jesus, ever with us stay, make all our moments calm and bright. Chase the dark night of sin away. Shed o'er the world thy holy light. Isn't that just beautiful? And the reason I read these lovely hymns is because to remind you, we don't sing too many of them anymore, but it is to remind you that we have a heritage in Jesus that is way beyond our understanding. Now, I would ask you to turn to Acts chapter 4, taking up the reading in verse 23. And being let go, that's Peter and John were let go of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers and elders, the religious people, the recording of all the religious things that went on, and those that did not believe in resurrection and of the life after death, the Sadducee. These people had it in for these two men who had seen a man who from his mother's womb was born a cripple. And at over 40 years old, they had said to him, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And he did, and he was leaping, and he was jumping, and he was excited. Oh, I wish that the Lord would do something like that in our day. Anyway, let's not go too far askew. These men, Peter and John, were let go, and they went, verse 23, to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. Now, I want to look at this piece of scripture and pull out the words and look at the word boldness. The word to be bold means literally blatant. To modernize that and to bring it into a focal point of the vocabulary that we use today, I would say to you with great love that this is a place where I'm in your face, boldness. Now, that doesn't mean you're rude or unkind. It means literally that you lift up your heart and you see things of the Lord and you tell those things that you see. For instance, these people understood things that we don't always comprehend. I'm impressed that in the day in which we live, our denominations that used to be are really pretty valueless. Our denominations that used to be have become sort of valueless. And when you discover this and when you understand it, I think it's a good thing in some ways. Not to dilute our theology and not to cause us to make up things and therefore make up a new theology, but to turn our heads, minds and hearts to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. For instance, we read in verse 26 that the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Can you imagine people today pretending to be Christians and saying that my Christianity is intact without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord? I would quickly say to leaders of this country and wherever there is leadership, do not discuss Christianity as an ethical form of living, because it's not. It's where unlearned and ignorant men, people, may come and worship the holiest of all gods, the creator of the ends of the earth, who has made himself available to us by our trusting Jesus Christ to be our Lord. Will you understand this, that our rulers do tend to stand up, and the leaders of our religiosity tend to stand up, and with massive phrases and wonderful words and twists of the language, they indoctrinate us into not believing that Jesus is the very center of Christianity. Today, we are building up a terrible thing. In the last days, says the book of Revelation, we shall discover that the earth is gathering together its armies so that they can fight against Jesus. Now, that's an incredibly stupid thing to do. But that's what Satan is trying to achieve, and he will achieve it. God is going to have one massive victory over Satan and all those that put their trust in the cleverness and the deviousness of people. And all these people that are disillusioned, and all these people that are deliberately allowing themselves to be led along in a way of thinking outside of the things of God, they're going to end up in a great valley, and they're going to have their armies drawn up, and they'll be drawn up against the people of God and of Jesus in particular. For the offense of Jesus is consistently constant. I think that's a terrible thought. To think that they would fight God? How can we fight God? But I remember that way back in Exodus, we read how it was that Dathan said to the children of Israel, Moses is up in Sinai and he's praying, we suppose, but who knows? He's been gone so long. Who knows if he's still alive? Maybe God has killed him and gobbled him up. So let's get all the gold and let's bring all the gold into one great hopper. Let's melt the gold down and let's make a golden calf, which was one of the gods of the Egyptians, and let's worship that god. And when as Moses came down the mountain, he heard the revelry that was going on in the valley beneath him. And with curiosity and hustling along, he realized the people were having a party of great significance. He burst out in front of them, and here is this calf held high. The people are worshipping the calf, shedding their own blood by splitting their veins open, worshipping with tears, worshipping by all sorts of things that were not righteous. The immorality that was going on at that party was absolutely shattering. And Moses was angry, and he blew up. His anger just took the very guts of him, and he blew up. And he said, oh, my, this is not possible. He was holding the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone, and he threw them down, and they were smashed. Moses was furious with the people. How could they turn against the living God? How could they not trust the living God? And he cried out to God. Oh, Moses lifted his voice, and he was angry, and the wrath of God was shown to the people through him. A great earthquake, and the earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and swallowed up this awful beast made of gold and was crushed, and the people fell into this great hole, and they were crushed. The penalty of sin is crushing defeat, and it's a terrifying thing and thought for us to consider that these things have happened in the past and are happening today. And I bring you just back to this little verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, that's against God Almighty. Which school was it that first promoted the fact that we did not need the Ten Commandments? Which school was it that first promoted the fact that we should not pray in schools? And which are the schools that are continually teaching our young people that to pray to God is useless, but you can pray to any God and it's okay? What a silly nonsense world we've come to, and what a foolish way we have entered into. What bothers me most today is that we are thinking we're telling God that he is of no consequence and that he doesn't care about us and he doesn't have to be bothered because we don't care about him and his Christ. Jesus is God's only Son. And listen to this. When Jesus was revealed, when John Baptist baptized him, there came a voice from heaven saying, according to the word of God, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, or listen to him. And what did Jesus say? When you find that you are at the end of your rope, at the end of your tether, when you've reached the end of everything, when all the counselors have fallen short, when all the deceptions have sort of dawned on your heart, when all the people have said their thing, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word that the Lord Jesus used was most emphatic. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Come. It isn't. Now, if you feel as if you've reached the end of your rope, you just turn my direction and I'll help you. That wasn't what he said. He said, come to me. It's like the sergeant on the parade field saying to the parading soldier, halt, about turn, order arms, stand at ease, and so on. It was a command. Jesus said, come unto me, come, come. But people don't, and we are gradually gathering ourselves together. And I hope, please God, nobody listening to my voice is guilty of this, but don't let's turn against the living God and his Lord Jesus. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Come to this Lord Jesus, and you will find peace in your soul. Understand something else here. As we look at this boldness thing, in your face, let's understand what the people did. Now, Peter and John went back to their church, and they said, this is what the chief priests and scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders and the rulers have said to us, that we've got to stop talking about Jesus and his resurrection. Now, this is key and its core at the same time. Think how far away we have come with our massive discussions, wonderful thinking and tremendous words that we use to avoid talking about the living God, to avoid talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The point I want to make, and I hope I'm making it, is that when we come to him, we can be comforted. The lady and gentleman that give their heart and finances to the television preacher suddenly may find that their beautiful building and their wonderful instruments and their massive choirs don't mean anything to them when their dear ones die. But the local pastor, when asked, will come with the word of God and with prayers that you will not understand or you will not really take in at the first time round. But he will sit beside you or kneel beside you, and he will pray with you, and he will deal with you, and he will show you that Jesus is the way of salvation, comfort, and love. Let Jesus comfort you. Let him put his arms around you. Let him hold you fast. Let him hold you tight. You see, that's one of the disadvantages of people that have these wonderful ministries in radio and TV. We have this lovely time that we're allowed to spend together, and I thank God for it, but I'm very conscious of the fact that when I'm called to go out to people who are hurting or suffering, it's not easy for me to get all the people that I would want to visit into a few weeks. I try sometimes, but it's not possible because we cover a large geographical area. I think it's fantastic, but we can't minister one-on-one. The best I can do is to draw you into the presence of the Lord Jesus and tell you all the things that the religious people have said. You can't do this, you can't do that. There's a million things that we cannot do, but some things we can do. And one of those things is pray. So the church, we read here in verse 24, when they had heard what the disciples of the apostles said, they lifted up their voice to the God that people say doesn't exist, by the way. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. That means everybody was in agreement. They were all praying to God the Father, who is the head of the Trinity. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. And then they remind God of things he knew better than they did. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth and all that lives in them. You've spoken to us by King David. They rehearse that. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Well, we rage and we imagine vain things. Terrible things, really. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. This is what people are doing today. God anointed Jesus to be his only begotten son. Jesus was given a ministry that is far beyond any other ministry the Lord Jesus, it is said of him in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John and the last verse of that chapter, where he says, many books could have been written of all the things that Jesus did, but a whole library couldn't hold the books. In a 3-year ministry, a library couldn't hold all the books of the things that Jesus did and said. But these things, he says, this is John speaking, these things I've written so that ye may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's difficult because some people say, how can a person be born of a virgin? We know better than that, do we? Do we? Scientifically, it may be a real conundrum. I'm prepared to, by faith, accept the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. He did grow up in Nazareth, and he was apprenticed to his father as a sort of carpenter. When I went to that part of the world, I confess I looked at some of the elderly buildings and wondered if this was a window frame or a door frame or even a door or a floor in a building that Jesus either helped put in or put in. It amazes me that we forget who Jesus was. More than a carpenter, the dearest friend. My word, how wonderfully kind he's been to all of us who know him. How generous he's been to those of us that call upon him. How gracious he has been when sin has overwhelmed us and taken us by surprise and we've plunged into the deep end again. How could it have happened? And we weep and we cry. Oh, yes, we do. When that happens, it is the love of Jesus that says, arise, walk. It is the love of Jesus that says, look and see. It is the love of Jesus that says, speak, speak of me. And so on and on one can go and wax eloquent in all sorts of poetical ways. But how beautiful is Jesus? Well, now, notice their boldness. They pray, hey, now you know what's gone on, particularly, Lord, they say, and we ask that you will give great boldness to those that are teaching. And look at verse 29. They say, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Preachers, pray that prayer, that you may speak the word, no matter what the people in the congregation are saying. It doesn't really matter what they say. It matters what you say, and you bring what you say from the throne of God. And people will say to you these things. They will say, we think you're confused. We think you're confusing. We don't think you know what you're talking about. Or they'll say, we don't understand you. Tell me, did they ever really understand Jesus? Did they ever really understand Peter and John or the Apostle Paul? No. They had to go and experience more experiences and find the presence of Jesus in every slot necessary in their lives to be filled. Notice they say, give these people boldness. And the word boldness comes out again, and it's very specific. They didn't ask, Lord, help us to move around and shut up and be politically correct and keep our mouths shut for fear of prison. Never mind the prison, never mind the values that change in the vocabulary. Let's not get into that stuff. Let's not be politically correct. Let's just be bold for Jesus. It's necessary that we become this way. And then, as I would close, I would share this with you, that in verse 33, we discover, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Do you understand what is being said here? Do you really take in what is being said here? If you look at verse 29, there's boldness. If you look at verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We need to speak this word and not be ashamed. Ashamed of Jesus, soon afar let evening blush to own the star. Ashamed of Jesus, yes, I may, when I've no sin to wash away. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, bring us to that place where we may be bold and that we may be prayerful and not be affected and infected with the things of this world anymore. Cause us to shun and shake off the things of this world and to be bold in the presence of our dear Lord Jesus. Let him be first and last in our lives. Let his glory shine day by day in our experience. Lord, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.